In our Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 5. If you're able, let's stand together and read. It's a long chapter. We won't read all of it. On Wednesday night, I brought a Bible study on verse 5, blessed are the meek. And but some of you missed that. I will not be preaching on the meek today. But I want you to understand that this is the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. It's on a little mountain outside of Capernaum, actually the headquarters of the Lord Jesus while he was here during his ministry. Chapter 5 is designated as the Beatitudes. Our attitude. I'm afraid all of us need little help with our attitude, with our spirit. In chapter 5, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless as the preaching of your word goes forth. May each one want to know the truth and hear and understand what you have said, so we can apply it to our lives and be comforted, so we can see what you have in store for us here in life. Bless us, we do study. Holy Spirit, have your way to change our lives and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bible with you, I call your attention to verse 9. Out of all of these that are mentioned here, there were 27 different subjects in the Beatitudes. It goes on, as you can see, that's a long chapter. But I want to concentrate on verse 9 this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. There's people that stand by and do nothing in this world, don't care what's happening to other people or themselves. But there's others that stand up and they try to make peace. Are you for war or are you for peace this morning? Jesus said the ones that are going to take my name to be my child, a child of God, will be peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker this morning so that you have the right to be called a child of God? God always puts out the challenge, does he not? We need to be busy about doing what God tells us to do and how to live it. Get out of our comfort zone. Get out of our habits that are bad, lifestyles that are bad, and have them change for the glory of God. If you haven't been a peacemaker in the past, you need to make up your mind to please God this morning and be a peacemaker. They'll be called the children of God. You know, we don't know when the rapture is going to come, when Jesus will come back again and take us out of this world quickly, all over the world. Everyone that's been born again, saved, will be gone. Then the tribulation part starts on the earth while we're up in heaven. Can you imagine the shock when every one of us, when the world is missing all of the true born-again Christians? All of a sudden, they're gone. There are no more peacemakers on the earth. That's why the tribulation is so bad. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be children of light. We're to make an impact with our lives, with our testimonies to other people. Not let everything go as it always has. To be a peacemaker, you got to get in between the two that are fussing. Jesus is our mediator between God and man. But even down here, we need to make peace. God doesn't want all of the war and everything that goes on, the bloodshed. But we have that because we're peacemakers. You know, we need to learn to get along. Peacemakers are forgivers. I preach on forgiveness a month or so ago, didn't I? To be a peacemaker, you're going to have to be a forgiver. You need to act on Bible principle and not on your emotions. All the way through here in Matthew 5, you find that same principle over and over again. You don't act on just how you feel or what's comfortable. You act on what God has already said. So we need to know, first of all, what God did say. Then we need to act on that, regardless of how we feel about it. God doesn't put that in the mixture at all. We need to know how to obey God and behave down here. A peacemaker, that's going to be somebody that's slow to wrath. Can't be have a quick temper if you're going to be a peacemaker. It's not going to bring peace at all, is it? I'm afraid everybody's found that out. Because you have a quick temper, you find that others are not around. We need to slow down. Learn to bite our tongue. We need to hesitate before we go ahead and cause a war, make anger. We need to think before we take a swing. We need to have self-control. Jesus is telling us in Matthew 5 how we need to behave. Talked about meekness on Wednesday, as I mentioned. And now, this morning, I'm being a peacemaker. I don't like it when people don't get along. In the world, whatever is going on, everything that we have to go through down here on earth. We have to think before we act. And you know what? We have to work at it. Because it's natural for our flesh to just launch out just at the drop of the hat type of thing. And that's not going to bring peace at all. Peacemakers are planners. You need to plan. That is, if you want to obey Jesus and be a peacemaker and be blessed. You know, every one of those says blessed. That means to be happy. Have joy within your life. Why would you want to go through life not having that happiness and joy? So Jesus tells us how to have that. You can be blessed and bless others by making peace. Having people get along. So we need to plan on doing that. Will you make a plan this morning if you want to obey God? Make a plan how you're going to make peace between somebody. Maybe relative, maybe people that you work with, or whatever. Get a plan. It's the wise way to go through life. You'll find when there isn't a plan, there's going to be mischief. And mischief, most of the time, leads to sin. Mr. Drake and I raised 3 children. And when they got older, they wanted to go out. But they knew that they needed my permission to go out. When my daughters wanted to talk with a boy. And their teenage years especially, I'd say, I want to talk to the boy first. And the first thing I would ask him, Peter, we'll just use his name, what's your plan tonight? Boy, his eyes got big, huh? What's your plan? Now it's 7:00. You're going to tell me where you're going to be at 8:00. You're going to tell me where you're going to be at 8:30. Because I know where you're going to be at 9:00. Short leash. You'll keep them out of trouble. You know, a peacemaker, because I don't want war. I don't want trouble. I don't want anybody harmed. A peacemaker is a planner. You think. You just don't let things go. There's times when you have to intercede. If you're going to be a peacemaker, you can't be opinionated. You need to go by the word of God. You need to be careful. You think you should be careful out here in the world, especially what's going on these days? Yeah. You need to be careful, not be foolish. Learn to protect yourself. Be wise where you go, who you talk to, what you're doing. Do you have a plan? Foolish women especially have just gone, gonna go take a walk. Yeah, they get out here walking at night alone. All of a sudden, they disappear. You need to plan, be careful, care more about people than circumstances. If you're going to be a peacemaker. In your life, how many arguments Have you had with so and so? And you made a fuss about it. What'd you argue about? You know, people argue about the craziest, dumbest things. And so we have war going on when Jesus said we can be happy if we're peacemakers and kind of put an end to that. There's some things that you can overlook that maybe you don't like in other people. Doesn't have to be your way. There's only one time. You know, see, I'm all for unity. I want everybody to get together. Get along. Be peaceful. But it's not going to be unity at all costs. Because when it comes to the things of the Bible, when it comes to the things of faith, there isn't going to be any unity about that. You're going to stick to the truth. Take your Bibles, go to Jude, verse 3. Jude, just before the book of Revelation, if you would, please. Because it says in Jude, in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The contention would be about the faith, not about other things. About the faith. I'm not going to have, just for the sake of unity, I'm not going to throw the faith away so I can get along with other false religions and compromising churches all around and everything else, you know. I'm not talking about making peace about that. Either is Jesus. He stood against the false prophets. He called them all kinds of names and everything else. Read Matthew 15. Read Matthew 23. You'll see what Jesus did with the false prophets and so forth. But I'm talking in our day-to-day things. We need to recognize the people around us that help us and keep us safe. You know, in my prayer, morning prayer, I always try to mention all of those. The veterans, all of those, the police, the fire, and so forth. Huh? We need to make peace with them. Make sure you're not crossways with them. They're coming to help you when there's a fire. Don't argue with them. The police are coming to help you be safe, whether it's a traffic stop or whatever. Don't go against them. Make peace. Be a peacemaker. We wouldn't have this mess we have out here in these big cities, Portland, Seattle, and all the rest of them going on, if they learned this verse. That's all you need. But they aren't children of God. They're not saved. Second point is we need to have peacemakers at church. At church. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 18, in this epistle written to the Romans, the church at Rome, he says in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He's talking to a church. You know, when we have a small church, but we got enough people that if we let it, the way some others live, they can get on our nerves. Are we looking to make peace and have unity within the church? That's what he's writing about right here. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to destroy the church from the inside. He likes to have division in the church. And so we need to learn that as well. Let's try to, if you got a problem with somebody in the church about something, you don't fuss about that. You don't make a big deal out of that. There's something between you, you know there is. Why don't you go to that person, straighten it out, sit down with them. That's what Jesus told us to do. What's he want us to do? He wants us to be a peacemaker, because that's what his kids do. The children of God. Satan wants to destroy the church, and he wants to destroy it from inside. You've seen churches like that. Third point. God wants us to be a peacemaker at home. Not only in the church, in the world, but at home. Go to Isaiah 32. Book of Isaiah, in chapter 32. Isaiah 32 and in verse 18, I call your attention. He says, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." Tells us here that where you dwell, your dwelling, where you live, where you eat, where you sleep, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. In sure dwellings. In other words, you make sure things are right. And in quiet resting places. Your sleep. I've known marriages and families and homes where they're fussing. Nothing's in order. Nothing's being done right at all. People can't even sleep. The Bible talks about that. Go to 1 Corinthians 11, if you will. There's got to be order in home for there to be peace. And you need to be a peacemaker at home. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 3, it tells the order, because he deals with that in chapter 11. He said, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see, there's an order to things that's supposed to be in a marriage, in a home. Not all of the wrangling that goes on in a lot of marriages and homes, because it's out of order. Things have to be kept in order. Be a peacemaker, so you can be rightfully called the children of God. It says that the man, in order, is above the woman. He's not above them in intelligence, in love, or anything else. Many times women are more loving. There's all kinds of things. It's not saying that somebody's better than someone else. God says, let's get things done in order, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. And homes are out of order. Did you know, instead of fussing, there was an home, it just takes one to be a peacemaker. You can't argue with someone that won't argue. Just don't argue with them. Be a peacemaker. We want to please God. Try not to defend yourself when you're attacked with false things. Go back to Proverbs chapter 20, if you would. The book of Proverbs right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 20, and in verse 3. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease, stop, from strife. But every fool will be meddling. Just keep on meddling and meddling and meddling. But it's an honor for someone to be a peacemaker, to stop the strife. You want to be honored, then you need to do this. Look at chapter 28 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. It says, he that is of a proud heart stir up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Mm-hmm. So he tells us in verse 25 that this strife is coming from pride in your heart. You want your own way rather than what God says. The man in the home at the head, the woman underneath, that's what God said. Just keep things in order. When they get out of order, then you got strife. You've got a problem. I've been preaching the book for 42 years now. Actually, it's 43 now. 43 years, and a lot of my counseling had been in homes and marriages. It's a common thing. All of the fighting and bickering and yelling and everything else that goes on. God has the answer to everything in life. Did you know that? All we got to do is follow what he says. Go to chapter 14 of Proverbs. Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, he says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. In other words, you're a fool. You're causing war rather than peace. It's not anything important that you're arguing about, but you cause strife within the home. And it's unlivable. I won't mention names. The folks aren't here today because of this very thing within the home. It's a common thing, but God has the answer, as I said. So we see what verse 29 says. Go to chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 9. Here it talks about the home and says it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. God's the one that said that. Because that's the problems in the home. You don't think that's a widespread problem? He says it again, chapter 25. Go to it. Chapter 25. In verse 24. Again, in this book of wisdom called Proverbs. He says the same thing. I guess God knows what he's talking about and you don't. I guess we better obey God and get our house in order and be peacemakers rather than fighters. Listen, when two come to a marriage altar to be married, they are to vow to one another that they're going to be together till death do you part. You're going to be sincere and you're not going to lie about it. And so you decided that you're going to be with this person till death do you part. You're not going to go anywhere. And so you have problems in the home, you get strife in the home. Listen, you know you're not going to divorce. Divorce is against that in the Bible. Because you already vowed you're going to stay with the person. That's why you need a lot of counseling before you get married. But if you were foolish enough to get into something, now you got a big mess on your hands. And the strife in the home and the marriage. But you see, figure it out. You got a wife, you got a husband. They've already said they're not going to go anywhere. Husband isn't even going to go anywhere. The woman's not going to go anywhere. So why don't you fix it? Because you're not going anywhere. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. That's what Jesus said to do. That you would have the right attitude, the Beatitudes, the right spirit. And fix it quickly. Why don't you say, during all of the argument and fuss that's going on, why don't you just say to yourself or the other person, I'm going to be the peacemaker. I'm going to be the peacemaker. Not going to argue with you. Not going to fuss with you. I'm not going to have this in our home, in our life. That will take care of the tension within the home. Another thing is to avoid the certain buttons that are pushed. Don't try to provoke. When you know there's a hot button that this person gets all excited about one subject, stay away from it. Just stay away from it. It's going to have to be God that works it within their heart. Be the peacemaker. Do your part to be the peacemaker. You be the healer. You know who you're responsible for before God? You. What you do. You can't have you're not responsible for others. They won't listen. But you are responsible because God, for yourself. Every man should give an account of himself. Tells us in Romans 14. The fourth point. Children. Children. You see, children become the next generation. If you don't get it straight in the home, and with the children are going out in the world and they're going to be put in positions of authority. They're going to be the next Congress. They're going to be the next policemen, firemen, doctors, and nurses. Those kids aren't raised, right? Get them a mess. Go to Proverbs 17. You're right in Proverbs. Go to 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Siblings in the home. Sometimes they'll try to cause fuss and have adversity. A brother is born for that. You're going to have those squabbles when kids grow up. There's going to be contention. But you see, those children are learning to have people skills, how to get along in life, how to be used by God, all of those things. Satan loves to tear apart homes and marriages and the mom and dad, the parents, because guess what? The children have to live in the same home as the parents. And when they see that going on with mom and dad, well, they do it. I can do it. The children need to grow up, learn how to share with one another. They don't want to grow up in contention in the home. Many times they see how the parents act and they mimic that. Children growing up, they need to be taught and learn how to compromise. I'm not talking about compromising the word or your standards or anything else. I'm talking about little things. Joey wants the truck. Jimmy says no. Jimmy should say, well, that's okay, Joey. You take the truck. Have to compromise. Next time comes up, Jimmy will. Be a peacemaker. Create some peace. Mom and dad, back one another up. Be respectful to each other. Because the next generation, your children, are seeing that. And they're just going to duplicate what you did in your home in their home. It's still up to us, the children of God, to take the responsibility to do right in the home. Not only in the marriage, but with the children as well. It's hard to find teenagers and children today that have any respect. Maybe it's because they see mom and dad not having respect. We need to get our homes in order because the home is the backbone of society. Fifthly, as I hurry, we need to be peacemakers in our neighborhood. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to be a peacemaker in the neighborhood. Is there a neighbor you don't get along with? Huh? There's tension between you two about something. It's usually crazy stuff. But remember, pride is the thing that starts all of this. We just read in Proverbs. Maybe it'd be a good idea to go ahead and bake some cookies and take them over and give them to your neighbor. You know, nothing's going to be done if you don't do it. God puts the ball in our court. It's our responsibility to be the peacemaker, and he gives you the wonderful blessing of happiness and joy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, if you would. Proverbs chapter 12. This is some subject that the Lord brought up, didn't it? Kind of quiet in here this morning. Amen. Speaks to all of us. We all need to be working on this. Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but the counselors of peace is joy. We need to want to have everything right and get along with people. Out in the neighborhood, huh? I worked in the secular section even as I pastored. Held out a job. I had to learn as a Christian, for me to be a good testimony, I shouldn't be going around telling everybody the faults of the boss that I had over me at work. I found out to have peace that I don't need to go to work with an evil spirit, an evil attitude. Bad attitude. That wasn't going to make my day good at all if I went into it like that. But I wanted was peace. You be able to work, earn a living, pay the bills. A lot of people have all of that tension and problems, even in the workplace as a neighbor. Maybe the reason you don't like the job is because you're not a peacemaker. We all need to be peacemakers. We need to try one way or another, get along. We just read verse after verse about this. This morning. And the sixth thing is, we need to be a peacemaker because of the lost. Those that are unsaved. Go to Philippians. The book of Philippians, please. Next book. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. We need to be peacemakers. Do you know that you, that's what a soul winner is? Is a peacemaker. Huh? Doesn't the Bible say that the lost, which you were once, you were an enemy against God? So someone came in between that and told you the truth about Jesus Christ. And he was the vehicle that God used so you could have peace with God rather than being an enemy. That's what a Christian's supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 5 tells you the same thing. Turn to your left a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Reconciliation, it means peace. That's what we're supposed to do. Maybe you know somebody that's lost. Need to be a peacemaker. Tell them to make peace with God. Because he gave his own son, so there could be peace. Even when Jesus was born, the angels, when they, at the birth of Christ, talked about peace to the world. One last verse, 1 Corinthians 9, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. Need to take, bring them to Jesus. Be a peacemaker. In every area of your life. 1 Corinthians 9, and verse 22. Paul said, "To the meek, or to the weak, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Whatever you need to do to be a peacemaker, you need to do it. I close with this illustration. Telemachus was a monk who lived in the 4th century, thousands of years ago. He felt God saying to him, "Go to Rome." He was in a cloistered monastery. He put his possessions in a sack and set out for Rome. When he arrived in the city, people were thronging in the streets. He asked why all of the excitement was told that this was the day that the gladiators would be fighting and killing each other in the Colosseum. The day of the games, which is called the circus. He thought to himself, 4 centuries after Christ, and they still are killing each other for enjoyment? He ran to the Colosseum and heard the gladiators saying, "Hail to Caesar! We die for Caesar!" And he thought, "This isn't right." He jumped over the railing and went out into the middle of the field and got between 2 fighting gladiators. He held up his hands and said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The crowd protested and began to shout, "Run him through with a sword! Run him through!" A gladiator came over and hit him in the stomach with the back of his sword and sent him sprawling in the sand. He got up and ran back again and said, "In the name of Christ, forbear!" The crowd continued to chant, "Run him through!" One gladiator came over and plunged his sword through the little monk's stomach, and he fell into the sand, which began to turn crimson with his blood. One last time he gasped out with his last breath, "In the name of Christ, forbear!" A hush came over the 80,000 people in the Colosseum. Soon a man stood up and left. Then another, and then another, and more. And within minutes, all 80,000 had emptied out of the arena. It was the last known gladiatorial contest in the history of Rome. It was a peacemaker. Will you be a peacemaker so you can rightfully be called a child of God? God tells us how our attitudes need to be, how our spirits need to be. He tells us what will work and what won't work. So he gives us scripture so we'll know what will work. Let's make up our minds to be peacemakers.